K-Win Big Ben, WSC Podcast. What are we getting into tonight?
Bold predictions. They've got to be bold. They can't be soft. They can't be the Nets are going to win the NBA championship. That's a soft prediction. That's an easy prediction to make. We're talking about improbable things. Things that make you either hit big or, you know, go home a little less money in your pocket. So this is focused on the NBA playoffs. Now I need you to catch me up. Since my Blazers have been knocked out,
yes,
they couldn't finish the deal against the Mavs. Catch me up on the NBA playoffs as it pertains to the West. Who looks good? Your Clips, who I know you love, get to the NBA Finals.
No.
Just give me a generalized, some data. Do you?
We have West Coast because it's the best coast. We got Suns versus the Nuggets. The Suns are up 2-0. They're going to Denver. And Coach Mike Malone of the Nuggets said there was no fight. The team gave up. He's looking for a fight in game three. Suns are looking good. On the other end of the bracket, we got the Utah Jazz versus the Clippers. The Jazz are up 1-0. That game's coming on later tonight. And Donovan Spider Mitchell went for 45. That was more points than Kawhi and Paul George combined, which goes to my point. I don't trust the Clippers, and I don't know if they have enough to make it out. On the East Coast, the Least Coast, we got the Nets going against the Bucks. The Nets are down to their terrific two because Harden's out. The Nets are playing right now. They're up 2-0 in the series. And then you've got the Sixers, Hawks split at 1-1, going to Atlanta for game three. One announcer described it, we're in the Elite Eight right now, trying to get to that Final Four, and we're going to get you there with some bold predictions.
So I think you have some numbers for us before we get into our bold predictions. But I have some talking points I want to touch on based on exactly what you just said, but give us the data.
All right, K-Win's numbers, 29.2, 28.7, 27.5. Again, 29.2, 28.7, 27.5. That is the highest playoff points per game among active NBA players that have played in a minimum of 25 games. So, Durant is number one right now at 29.2. LeBron's at 28.7. And my guy, Donovan Mitchell, is number three at 27.5. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because here's some data for you. Luka blitzed your Clippers, averaging 35.1 points per game in a seven-game series because they're not guarding anyone. Donovan Mitchell had 45 in game one. He's going to go nuts this series. Bold prediction, he's going to move up to number two points per game of active players in the playoffs who've played at least 25. He's jumping ahead of LeBron. And you know why Jokic's not going to be in there? Because they're going to be knocked out of the playoffs, and he's not going to get to 25 games.
Whoa, that's my first bold prediction. Whoa, on Jokic. I think – let's go back to what Malone said. That conversation needed to be happened. We've seen the Nuggets run out of steam now last year and potentially this year down 0-2. Here's the difference, though. Jokic will be awarded the MVP when they get returned home to Denver in this next game. I think that puts a spark in the entire team to go out and win one for that MVP. Joker, he was in the top 10 in, I think top 5 in points, rebounds, and assists this year. And it'd be a short-sighted MVP conversation if he didn't lead the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals, at least this year.
Well, it's going to be pretty short-sighted because Donovan Mitchell's going to get there. And on the other end, it's going to be the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Here's my other interesting part to this is LeBron's not no longer in the playoffs. I think he wanted just more time to recover. He said he opted out of the rest of the playoffs so he can go repair that ankle that he said he'd never be the same about. And then the Splash Brothers, half the Splash Brothers, but Steph Curry in the playoffs. And you and I were talking, it's the first time now since, was it Cleveland, that we haven't, or it's the first time that we won't see either of those two teams like in the NBA finals, or two players at least, in the NBA finals dating back to
2015, I think, when the Warriors won their first one. And then the next year they lost to the Cavs. Then the Warriors won two. And
no,
then
no, you're
the
not
Warriors
listening to what I said. Raptors. Those, one of those two players was, has, have been in the finals, I think, dating back to 2010. So for the last decade, those two players have been in the NBA championship. So I don't know if that is a reflection of the parity in basketball. I don't know that that's a reflection of just a down year for the Lakers and Warriors. But I think what makes this these playoffs interesting is there's only been five titles among the remaining teams. Three with the Sixers, one with the Bucks, and the third is who?
The St. Louis Hawks, not the Atlanta Hawks. So they won it when they were back in St. Louis.
So none of these teams have been here before.
Nope.
So it makes, I think, the playoffs a little more interesting. I think all will remember the Raptors' latest championship and how they beat the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals and that shot by Kawhi. But I think it provides the fan bases who, outside of LA and Golden State and Miami and Cleveland, that haven't been in an NBA final in a long time, I think it's going to renew a lot of interest in the NBA, and I think it's honestly good for the NBA.
I think it's great for the NBA. To go back to your other point, where the regular season MVP, does he have what it takes to win it all? Like, we're in a different time, and Joker deserved the MVP this year, but there was a time when the best player in the NBA actually won the MVP trophy. I'm talking about Jordan. And he won the MVP four times, won the champion four times. The one time he didn't win it, they gave it to Karl Malone, and he got upset, and they won it in the second three-peat. What do you think of Hakeem Olajuwon? Back in 94 with the Rockets, he won the MVP. Shaq did it, and Steph did it in 2015. But looking at it now, it's more stats-based, and it's usually associated to the best player on the best team or one of the best teams.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next point, or at least around the Nuggets. So without Jamal Murray, Joker's had to do everything. And I think what we saw in that series where with Dallas and the Clippers, excuse me, I think I said Portland lost to Dallas. It was Portland ended up losing to...
I forgot already. They lost to Denver.
They lost. Correct. So you saw, back to your point on the points per game with Luka. I mean, that was because Luka had to do everything. He played every minute of every game and had it. The offense 100% ran through him. Rick Carlisle, he'd like sit down on the bench. His butt wouldn't even get in the seat. He's back in the game. Like, that's the matter of the fact. That's the same thing with Joker. And I think, I hate to body shame, but Joker does not look like, you know, we're running into an 82 game season. Like, this will be game 80 effectively, I think, or get into the 80s. Like, I think we're seeing his usage, while it's still high, it's gassing that team. And there's no second option, really. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is nice, but without Jamal Murray, it's tough. The inverse here, you have a healthy Chris Paul finally leading the team. Like, he is. Although Booker and Ayton are great pieces, like, he is he's the leader of that team, and you can see him taking that title and really helping out the young guys. And Booker's fed off that as well. Spot up shooter, he can't miss. So it all comes down to point guards. And if I look at the West, you really don't have a point guard. Who's our guy in Denver? The little guy that played for.
Like Campazzo or something like that.
Yeah, Campazzo, right? Little JJ Barrera. So, and then with the Clippers, you don't have a floor general, right? You got Kawhi or PG bringing it up, but My point being is that I think the point guards can get you to is the differentiator there between those West series. So I believe you're right. We're going to see the Jazz and the Suns, which a lot of people didn't think were going to happen. I said it. I thought the entire thing could have flipped on its head. We could have seen, you know, seeds 5 through 8 end up in the second round versus what we see today.
Well, going back to the Nuggets, they do miss Jamal Murray, like you said. And in the Portland series, Jokic could do whatever he wanted because they guarded him with single coverage, and there's a great matchup against the bigs. But now with Porter, his back is hurting, and he's the second option, and he's not scoring. Like, I don't see Aaron Gordon stepping up and being that third scorer, or Austin Rivers, or Montemore, or whatever his name off the bench. I don't even know who the Nuggets have on the roster at this point. I just don't think they have enough firepower to keep up with the Suns. They will win in Denver because you're right, they'll rally around the MVP, but I don't see them winning the series.
So my bold prediction, Chris Paul does not have an NBA championship. He's been close. He's been benign by the Clippers. My bold prediction is CP3 gets the Suns to the finals against the Nets, but then gets, I'm calling myself out here. I want to say it's a gentleman's sweep. It's going to be 4-1, 4-1 Nets, but Chris Paul, I think, has something to prove. And if he gets the Suns to the NBA Finals, there's something we said there.
Now, is it my turn? Am I picking, or are we going another direction? What do you want from me?
No, I feel free to pick.
So you know I've been high on the Utah Jazz the whole year. That's why I had to bring up that stat on Donovan Mitchell. They have 4 playmakers. One's hurt right now. Conley will be back. But if you look at Mitchell, Conley, sixth man of the year, Clarkson, and Ingles, who's now starting at point, what they do is they get those guys with the ball. They play 4 out, and they're the best 3-point shooting team in the league. So there's some kind of on-ball action. Gobert's diving, surrounded by shooters. The Jazz are deeper. They're ready. They're the number one seed. I've been praising them all year. But I'm going Suns. You said it. They've got CP3 and Booker and Ayton. He's shooting 70% from the field, a double-double machine. And the guy that they don't talk enough about, it's Mikal Bridges. He's the energy guy. He brings defense. And they just have more depth, I believe, than the Nuggets. You've got Cameron House of Pain. You've got Crowder. You've got Cam Johnson, who's really the wild card out of UNC. But here's my bold prediction, because the Suns going to the finals really isn't that bold. Bold prediction, Game 3, Jay Crowder and Austin Rivers are going to get into it. Double technicals. They're both thrown out of the game. Crowder likes to mix it up. He's getting tossed with a flagrant one. That's my bold prediction for Game 3.
That's a deep, bold prediction. Dual technicals for Austin Rivers and Jay Crowder. Okay.
Another bold prediction, Jay Crowder might hit one more three the rest of the series. He's gone, oh, I don't think he's made a shot since the bubble.
Do you think the Suns took anything from that bubble success?
Yeah, I think confidence and camaraderie. Cameron Payne played well. Booker, their season was on the line. They had to win, and he showed up. He put them on their back. So I think they took that experience, knowing that they could compete against the best, and they catapulted into this year. And with CP3, it made the difference.
Can we do something, though? Can we please? We've got to do something about the Jazz's current court situation. Have you seen this?
What does it look like?
Okay, I'm going to share this with you. It is disgusting.
While you bring it up. Oh, you bring it up.
Wow. Dark mode. Where's the floor? If they play the Suns, it's going to look way too much like, I mean, the courts are going to look the same. People are going to get confused. Who's the home team? I'll stop this and bring up the Suns. Go on.
Well, I was just going to say the Jazz, we already have the Jazz and the Suns playing in the finals. The Jazz haven't been to the finals since Karl Malone, John Stockton, and that's Jeff Hornacek shooting free throws. They haven't been there, since 2000, or excuse me, 97. Long time coming for the Jazz. And Dwayne Wade, he's an owner. Can we suit him up and get him in the game if we need to get him over the hump? Bring Flash in.
So here, let me give you, it's a team, it's going to be, now it's a 72-game season. It's compressed a little bit, but I think a lot of people would say that last year's championship by the Lakers doesn't hold as much water due to the bubble situation and so forth. But I think a 72-game season, this is going to be a little more credible, and we'll see a different champion. So this is the Suns court. What is with teams and like these, like, let's go back to a traditional, if I'm the Jazz, I'm going to get in my soapbox here a little bit, but if I'm the Jazz, I want those little, what are those called? The treble clefs or whatever, the floating notes. Like, let's go back to that. The purple, the mountains. And Suns can go back when Barkley, just bring back the Duncan Gorilla too. Let's have some fun. Phoenix and you couldn't think of two dissimilar cities too. You got Salt Lake in Phoenix. I mean, I would love to see Salt Lake fans down in Phoenix in the middle of June, just or July, melting.
Well, I thought you got mini Vegas out in Old Town in Scottsdale.
Exactly. All right, so we've got our teams. We both see the Suns advancing the finals.
Yes.
Do you want to make a call on finals MVP?
Who are the Suns playing?
So I already claimed the Nets. And most people, I bring up the fact, are the Nets, who's better, the Nets and Durant with Durant, or were the Warriors better with Durant? Like, those two teams faced off.
I'm biased to the West Coast into the Warriors. I think the Warriors had a better all-around team in that Steph and Clay could fit together better with KD, because all they had to do is sit in the corner and shoot, and they played better defense. You know, Durant's great defense. They have Clay. They also have Draymond. On the Nets, they really just outscore everyone. And you can do it when you have Kyrie, Harden, and KD. So I think the Warriors were a better all-around team, but I think maybe the Nets have more firepower.
I think Durant is getting lost, not necessarily lost in this Nets conversation, because Kyrie has emerged. It's just like unguardable nearly. You know, on-ball defenders can't stay in front of him. And then Harden just, it seems like he comes on the court and can throw up a triple-double in his sleep, like in his slippers. So I think Durant, here's my bold prediction around the MVP, and it's not too bold, but I think Durant takes over the finals and just says, I'm going to cement myself as, you know, no matter who's around me, I want to win an NBA Finals MVP, because I don't think he did with the Warriors. I think Steph got him both times.
Durant got him both times.
Wow. Okay. Maybe he becomes the first one to win it, or I think he might become the second person to win it with both teams, or two teams, two different teams. So not too bold, but I think Durant wins the Finals MVP.
That's fair. So I also have the Nets. We're agreeing way too much on this podcast. But I have the Nets. They're playing well, and Jeff Green, probably their most versatile big, is out. He comes back probably in game four. He'll help them on Giannis. Harden still isn't available, but think about it. They've got Blake. They've got Jeff Green. They've got Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, and they almost had LaMarcus Aldridge. It almost would have been too unfair if all these players are healthy. But even without them, the cream rises to the crop. You've got Kyrie. You've got KD, ISO package, dribble handoff. It doesn't matter. Pick and roll. You can't stop him. But I want to go back to KD before I give my bold prediction. He was in the news this week. He may or may not be dating an adult entertainment actress. But I will say, if this Bucks series was an adult entertainment movie, then Giannis and the Bucks would be getting, I won't say that, you can fill in the blanks. But I think we need to have Miss Lana Rhodes come on the podcast to tell her side of the story.
Oh, I think hopefully we could get out of our explicit content real quick, real here. But it is no filter. So KD can do what he wants, you know, let people live the life that they want to lead. But back to your Giannis comment, if we want to talk a little bit about the offseason, Milwaukee brought in some big kind of in-season acquisitions to hopefully get them over the hump. And it's proven even not even enough for the Nets, or not even close to enough to beat the Nets. So what happens there? I think the Warriors come back and the Lakers, and they're, you know, the Western Conference is the same, but you look at out East, and I think it might be the Nets for a while if they can keep all those contracts and all those players happy. And Joe Harris hungry. He keeps hitting threes. Go Mountain Goats.
Go Mountain Goats. I got to get back to KD. That whole Lana Rhodes thing threw me off a little bit. I got a little sidetracked. Our intern's trying to DM him right now to see if she'll come on the show. But here's my bold prediction. KD is 32. LeBron is 36. LeBron has 4 rings, 4 finals MVPs. KD has 2 championships, 2 MVPs. Nets are going to win again, so he has 3. Bold prediction, Lord of the Rings, KD is going to finish with more rings than LeBron.
Ooh.
Wow. I think KD gets 5. LeBron, I don't think he gets another one. There's my bold prediction. Wow.
I think we stopped there. That is a phenomenal. So here's, does Giannis get any?
No. They're going to lose in 5. Gentlemen, sweep here. And I'll get to my other. I have 2 more bold predictions if you want to go to the offseason. I got 2 more.
Absolutely.
Giannis doesn't get one. Gilbert Arenas said it best. Like, Giannis is a physical specimen, raw talent, unbelievable. And that in the regular season is awesome. But in the playoffs, when you're playing good teams and in crunch time, like, you need some skill along with that raw talent to score. He couldn't do it against the Heat in the bubble last year. He's struggling right now against the Nets. Like, if he can't hit a free throw late in the game, I'm not giving him the ball to create. And so he's going to have the other step up, but Middleton's scuffling, and Drew Holiday might be out because he could opt out at the end of this year.
Their window is closing, you're right. And it's the Nets are about to slam it shut. And for those guys, you're right. Like, hey, I think it's similar what LeBron had when he was with the Heat, like, or even with the Cavs. The East is so light. Like, if you're the Nets, you're like, all right, you know, maybe we have to pick, the Sixers will pick on us a little bit, but Embiid can't stay. So why not stick around? And, you know, Harden's probably not even hurt. He's just load managing until the finals.
They don't need him.
And they have that luxury, right? It's like, we'll tell you when we need you. And then, you know, you can come in. Maybe I'll take a night off in the playoffs against the Bucks, against a former MVP. That's how good they are. Yeah. And back to my question to you, I'll answer my own question. I think they're better than the Warriors. Where I don't think the Warriors could have taken a night off. Now, it could have been due to the competition, but like the Nets are just, I would argue that they have 3 of the top 5 to 6 players in the NBA. Like, if you put one of those guys on Denver, they would have probably put up Joker numbers or close to it.
Yeah.
So
you could argue that, I mean, Blake Griffin's playing better now that he got out of prison in Detroit. Like, he's dunking on people. He's guarding Giannis. I mean, Joe Harris is a great three-point shooter. Fits in well. They got this guy Claxton, this big guy. Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. I just had to stick with my Warriors.
So if we look at the last champion, so we've had the Lakers last year, the Raptors prior. Then you had two Warriors, a Cavs, a Warriors, a Spurs, a Heat. So of the last decade, I think 7 of the 10 champions, maybe six out of four. So we had the Heat win twice, the Cavs, and then the Raptors out of the East. And then you've had the Warriors, Spurs, and Lakers out West. I could very much see the next 4 years being dominated by the Nets. They keep that team together.
Yeah. I could see that happening as well.
Which is unfortunate. Or the Warriors try to pull another super team, and I don't know how you construct one that can beat the Nets. I mean, could be in conversation for the greatest team ever, depending on how the rest of the playoffs play out.
I got that team for you in my bold prediction. We're going out to the city of Portland, Oregon. I love Portland. Ben lives not too far away from Portland, driving. I've got two bold predictions. The first one is on their next head coach, Dame Lillard, from the Biggity Biggity O, lobbied for J. Kidd, also from the Bay Area, also a point guard. They're tight. They're close. J. Kidd said, no, don't want to do that to Stotts. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to look like there's collusion. But there's another point guard from the Biggity O, Brian Shaw. He played with the Lakers, won with Kobe and Shaq, coached with the Lakers, assistant to Luke, also had a head coaching job in Denver. If you go back to Damian Lillard's wacky offseason workout videos, everyone did the workout videos. Dame did these funny ones where he did these silly drills. He was with Brian Shaw in LA. They go way back. B. Shaw is going to be the next Portland Trailblazers head coach.
And?
Well, then we're going to the moves. And I'm calling it double holiday in Portland. Here's what's going on. Portland's...
Wait, before you get into this, I'm kind of reading between the lines here. what I could see is like this anti-tampering thing where Dame's like, yeah, we want Jay Kidd, when actually he's bringing B. Shaw. And he's telling B. Shaw, like, go start recruiting these players while I distract them by saying Jay Kidd's going to be our next coach. This is
very
a
possible
scenario.
Yeah.
Lillard is orchestrating a house of cards out west to go take down the Nets.
Yeah, exactly. So Portland's got to make some moves. They got to make some change. Dame's in his prime. He's 30, going to be 31 July 15. Dame Dollar, if you're listening, Big Ben and I are vaccinated. We can come down and celebrate your 31st birthday. So get at us. But here's what they're going to do. They're going to trade CJ McCollum and your boy Nurk to Indiana. They're going to get Miles Turner and Justin Holiday. They're going to do this because you saw what happened against Jokic. Nurk couldn't guard him. Cantor couldn't guard him. I'm not saying you have to shut him down. You just can't let the guy score 35 or 40 if you want to win. Lakers have AD. Ayton and Phoenix, you need a big guy if you're going to compete. So they're going to get Miles Turner and Justin Holiday, which is going to bring us to the other Holiday, because Drew Holiday, after they get gentlemen swept by KD and Lana Rhodes, is going to opt out of his contract. He's going to come to the West Coast, sign with Portland. The problem with Portland is CJ was the big guard, but didn't play the right defense that you need. Now you have Drew Holiday, who can guard the best player in the backcourt, team him up with Dame and Miles Turner. Rip City is back in business, baby. There's my bold prediction.
Blaze would love that.
Yeah.
Is it enough, though?
Enough to get him out of the first round.
But let's discuss the Blazers, because they're the team closest to home for me right now. And Terry Stotts got him to the playoffs 6 out of the 8 years that he was there, but could never get him over the hump. He thought he had the formula this year. I think the downside to the Blazers is they've missed on some draft picks. Zach Collins hasn't shown up in the last 3 years. He's continuously hurt. They've had to rely on Cantor. And you're right, Nurk's great, but he's just not – he's like 3 inches too short. Like, if he had just a little more length, I think he would be able to go man up against Jokic, but he's overwhelmed. I think Dame's elite. We saw that in that game where he took him to two OTs and made some shots that look like something on 2K where the guy's on fire and throwing it up behind of his head. But I don't know if Portland has the – go back to who – I read the book, The Geoblazers, and like Shaq talked about coming to Portland. He's like, Portland, you know, it's a second-tier city. It's a single sport, big three, big four city. But I don't know if it has the attractiveness where they're – unless they make a big splash, like Jay Kidd would be nice, the coach, and can go out and recruit. I don't know. I don't know if Dame's as big of a draw as I believe he thinks he is.
Yeah.
And how so you can't get more for CJ McCollum than Miles Turner and Justin Holiday?
Miles Turner's an all-star. He's like a 6'10 big who can shoot and play defense.
Yeah, in Indiana, I guess I don't Midwest.
Underutilized. But you're right. I don't think Portland can get a big name free agent to sign because of their city. And the draft, besides Dame and CJ, I guess they got Anthony Simmons. They almost have to draft and develop or figure out how they can trade because no one's going to sign there. So will Dame, who has shot down the super team for years, finally get fed up and leave?
If you're Dame and you want to win a championship, you're right. If they move on CJ, we'll see how far Dame's loyalty extends to that city. Because he said, you know, he's the king of Portland, right? That's all anyone will talk about in that entire city. It's going to be – he'll be tested if they ship CJ out. He doesn't get exactly what he thinks he needs in return. And they're going to have to make a big investment and probably – I don't – when's his contract up? Where's our intern? But when he comes up, you know, in a few years and is looking for an extended max, you know, do you stick around and, you know, continue to operate in the sixth seed and hope you get back to a Western Conference Finals and a crack? I don't know.
Either. But they need to do two things. One, they need to say, Dame, who do you want us to hire? And then they need to say, who do you want us to trade or keep, right? Because if he's not involved in both of those decisions, he gone.
Yeah. You could go, I mean, he has ties to Utah. Playing at Weber State, I think they're the – I mean, we saw what they did with the number one seed. A lot of people thought they were, you know, a fly-by-night. People were still focused on LeBron and Steph and the idea that they'd make it back. But, you know, we've seen Donovan Mitchell emerge, Rudy Gobert, patient zero. He's played phenomenal. Another defensive player of the year. If we're talking about Miles Turner as a defender, Rudy Gobert has been the best in the league the last 3 years. So,
yeah. Here's – something that I didn't say as a bold prediction, because if this happened, the NBA would be over and they could challenge the Nets. So Dennis Schroeder is a free agent. So the Lakers do need a point guard and they need someone who can help out because AD gets hurt a lot and LeBron can't play as many games as he'd like. If Drew Holiday opts out and comes home to L.A., imagine Drew Holiday, AD, and LeBron. They could take on the Nets. Also, if Dame really wanted to push the envelope, take a pay cut, could you imagine Dame, AD, and LeBron? Those two combinations could take on the Nets.
That might have to happen, to be honest. That might have to happen because the Nets are that good. And you're going to have to – you can't have two. We've seen it. I think we saw it with the Lakers this year. They had LeBron and AD, and they both – wore down at the end of the season. Like, there's just too much ball. I think we're seeing that with the Clippers too. We're seeing that with the Nuggets. Like, the Nets just have the luxury of having three phenomenal players. You only need two out of the three. Like, yo, take a rest, man. Like, go sit on the board. We're good. We'll be fine without you. So if you don't have three, we talked about the duos like 2 years ago, everyone matching up. we're finding that with the length of the NBA season, especially next year when it's going to be like you're only going to have 2 months off, you need three guys like they have in Brooklyn to even make that work.
And look at WSD Podcast. We've got Big Ben, K. Wynn, and our intern. We've got the three, too.
Our intern is permanently like Harden or whoever's on the bench, just taking a rest, but operating behind the scenes. He's lining up Lana Rhodes right now to come on the podcast.
Exactly. That's what he brings.
All right, you want to wrap this up? Let's summarize. What are your bold predictions? So you got two dueling technicals for Austin Rivers, who is a walking technical, by the way. he makes a three, and then, you know, I could see Crowder just laughing in his face, and that's how it happens. Dueling technical for Crowder and Rivers. We got both got the Suns making the NBA Finals. I got Durant becoming, I think, the one of two individuals who have won NBA Finals MVP in two different leagues for two different teams. Maybe one of one, I think. We got the Nets winning the Finals.
LeBron did it. I think it's just him and LeBron, but our intern will have to fact check that.
And you got the Tom Brady. Durant, Tom Brady.
Yeah, Durant's going to go for five. And that's like a softball. I think he could get to six, which is crazy if he gets to six and Jordan has six. But he might get to six. Lord of Rings. I got KD with more rings than LeBron. I got Donovan Spider Mitchell putting up a lot of points. He's going to leapfrog LeBron, and be second among active players in points per game. Last bold prediction, I got Lana Rhodes coming on this podcast in July.
We'll have a new sponsor by that time, too. All right, Big Ben and Kay win. That's our basketball bold predictions. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the playoffs. We're going to crown a new NBA champion, a team we haven't seen her for a while. And it may or may not be a West Coast team, probably not, but at least we'll see a good NBA final where we can potentially witness one of the best teams we've ever seen put together, in my opinion, in all basketball.
And wait, at WST_podcast, Instagram and Twitter. You can find us online everywhere. But don't go everywhere. Just come to No Filter. NoFilter.net. That's where you can see us live.